At this site, we're looking at an amazing miracle that Jesus performed. And I'm going to go to the passage in Mark chapter 5. As we were coming down the hill, and you could certainly see from the Golan Heights, the Sea of Galilee behind us, and Jesus and the disciples were coming from the far shore over here. And Jesus calmed the storm on the way. But in Mark chapter 5, as we start, notice in verse 1, and they came to the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gerasenes, or the Gadarenes. And at the end of this passage, after Jesus was finished here, notice in verse 21, and when Jesus had crossed over again in the boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered about him, and he stayed by the seashore. In this story, they came over in the boat, they landed here, the events of this story took place, and they went back. The reason they came over here was for this one purpose that we have recorded here in Mark chapter 5. Let's take a look at that story and we'll read part of the verses. When he had come out of the boat, immediately a man from the tombs with an unclean spirit met him, and he had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one was able to bind him anymore, even with a chain. And in one of the other accounts, it tells us that there were two of these men. They were running around here naked. They had tried to bind them with chains because they were insane. They were a danger to people around here. And yet, physically, they could break those chains. It was very obviously demonic with that kind of strength and with the insanity. This area here was part of a league of cities all around here. It's called Decapolis, and that'll come in later. That means 10 cities that were joined together, and this was part of that group. Let's look at the passage again. Constantly, night and day, in verse 5, among the tombs and in the mountains, he was crying out and gashing himself with stones. And seeing Jesus from a distance, he ran up and bowed down before him. And crying out, he said, "What do I have to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God, do not torment me." For Jesus had already been saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And he said, "What is your name?" He said, "I am Legion, for we are many." And as the story goes on, it tells us that there were 2,000 pigs around here that he had cast the demons into. A legion is more like 6,000. The scripture doesn't tell us how many demons there were, but he was known by that understanding of 6,000. And so in this one man, or in the two, there were at least 2,000 demons, or maybe 6,000 demons. How in the world can one soul contain evil of that magnitude? The only thing I've been able to understand is that God intended the human soul to have a capacity to appreciate the goodness of God to a greater degree than those demons could ever pervert. And so we just have a glimpse in the beauty of God's creation, in the wonder of the love we experience on our relationships, even at its best. We only have a glimpse of the beauty and the capacity for good that God has designed us to enjoy in His presence and with one another for an eternity. And yet at this time, these men were plagued by demons. Verse 10, and he began to entreat him earnestly and not to send them out of the country. And there was a big herd of swine feeding there on the mountainside. And they entreated him, that is Jesus, saying, "Send us into the swine so that we may enter them." And he gave them permission, and coming out, the unclean spirits entered the swine. And the herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea, 2,000 of them, and they were drowned in the sea. And those who tended them ran away and reported it in the city. And the people came to see what it was that had happened. And they came and observed, and came to Jesus and observed the man who'd been demon possessed sitting down, clothed in his right mind, the very man who had the legion, and they became frightened. And those who had seen it described to them how it had happened to the demon possessed man and all about the swine, And then they asked Jesus, please leave this place. We want you to leave here. A thought that comes up, why would Jesus have any consideration for the demons and allow them to enter into the swine according to their request? And for whatever purpose, those demons wanted to indwell something, maybe simply to have interaction with this realm instead of being restricted to the realm that they were intended to be in. For whatever reason, they indwelled those men. But they said, if nothing else, we'll take the swine. Why would Jesus grant that request? Jesus came over here for this one event and then he went back. This is a Gentile area, not a Jewish area. Jesus came to the Gentiles. He ministered to the Gentiles and he taught everyone something very clear from being here with the Gentiles. Can you imagine being a Jewish fisherman? It said these men lived in the tombs. They would scream at night and cut themselves with rocks. They acted insane because they were insane by the influence of these demons. Can you imagine being a Jewish fisherman and hearing this noise going across the water? Can you imagine the stories that went to the other side of the Galilee from the people on this side? About the crazy men who ran around here, that they had tried to imprison, but nothing could hold them. All that that insanity portrayed to these people certainly went to the other side. Jesus told his disciples to get in the boat, and they were coming over here. Can you imagine the conversation in the boat? Lord, we've heard the stories that are over there. You know, can we just look at it from the boat, and then we'll go back? Lord, there's crazy people there. People have been hurt. They're insane. For crying out loud, they're Gentiles. Jesus came here for the purpose of seeking and saving those insane men. Jesus came over here for those two guys, the one that we have a record of that responded to what Jesus did. Jesus will go anywhere for the one. He speaks to us of a question to our hearts. Would we come over here to meet an insane man that they might see the blessing of God in their life? Would we go across the street to talk to our neighbor? If God says, well, we go around the world to meet people we have no idea about. Will we talk to our own family? What does God call us to do? No more than He's called Jesus to do and the commission He gives us to go wherever He calls us. To speak to people about the love of God. The problems aren't the issue. It's the love of Christ that's the issue. Whatever your life is about, whatever trials you go through, however wonderful and beautiful the blessings are, God calls you, and that's the reason we go. He'll meet us with the opportunities and the needs of the people when we obey. He just calls us to go. Jesus not only showed the love of God to that man as he cast the demons out, and as he blessed him with the understanding of who this man is that did this for him, when other people had only tried to contain him, to chain him, to keep him away from their lives, this one man came across the water just to meet him. What does the Lord plan to do with your life and my life? He came to us each one at a time. And He asks us to go to others one at a time to fulfill His purpose and the joy that comes with Jesus Christ. Jesus sent those demons into the pigs that were on the hillside. What was he doing when he did that? There were many, many, many people in this area. They came to see what had happened, but they didn't come to see the deliverance that came to this man who was insane. They came to see what happened to the pigs. When they saw that their prophet was gone, they asked Jesus to leave. We don't need any more of what you have. We don't want any more of what you have. You have ruined our prophet. We are not willing to give up what we possess in this life to know anything about you. They saw the man clothed, sane, and calm. And it did not impress them as much as the dead pigs. What is it that we look at when we see the person and work of Jesus Christ? Is he a way to bring blessing to our life? Or is he the one that our soul was designed to love and fellowship with for an eternity? Whatever the circumstances are. This man asked Jesus when he went to get in the boat again, he said, "Can I go with you? I want to be with you." Jesus was the only reason he had in life that he knew so far to look for a sunrise, to know that there was something the next day. And of all the times Jesus went to people and he said, "Come, follow me," he said to this man, "You stay here. I'm leaving. You stay here. You stay with these people who have hated you. You stay with these people that would not help you. You stay with these people that wanted to destroy you. You stay in the midst of these people and you tell them what God has done for you. You speak to them of the great things that God has delivered you through." Can you imagine being placed in that situation? Can you imagine in your own life? When things are troublesome, when there are trials, when we can't control our circumstances, and we've lost the securities that we stand in, whether it be our credit cards or our investments, our military, our freedoms, whatever they are, and it seems like God has deserted us, and we're left alone in the midst of life, do we really, really believe that he's in control and he has a purpose in doing that? Let's conclude this and look at the end there in Mark chapter 5. In verse 20 it says, "And he went off and began to proclaim in Decapolis," this 10-city area around here, "what great things Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled." And then turn to Matthew chapter 7. Starting in verse 31, it says, "And again he went out from the region of Tyre and Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, and then within the region of Decapolis. And they brought to him who was deaf and spoke with difficulty, and they treated him to lay his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude by himself. And he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, he touched his tongue with the saliva, and looking up to heaven, he said, 'Be opened.' And his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was removed, and he began speaking plainly." When Jesus came back to this area, he did more miracles. But when he came back, there was a multitude that met him here. The first time they asked him to leave, "We don't want what you have. It's ruined our livelihood." When he came back, there was a multitude to meet him, to bring people to be healed, to hear what he had to say, to want to know about him. What made the difference? As far as we know, Jesus left a witness here who had a reputation of being insane to carry on the work of the kingdom. If God can use that man, he can use us. Damascus is north of here. There was obviously a church in Damascus at the time of the Apostle Paul because he went there to persecute him. How did that church get started? Where did it come from? Well, there were people in this area that heard about Jesus. And out from this area, there were people that heard about Jesus. And the Jewish people didn't want to have to deal with the Gentiles. But Jesus started one witness amongst the Gentiles over here. And it evidently showed great fruit. And I really do believe if God can use an insane man and heal him, send him out in ministry, He can use me. And He can use you. He can bring His purposes to pass even through our lives. So let's be blessed in understanding that God does this work. And when we meet somebody that seems to be insane, we can show compassion and love and simply maybe say, you know what, that looks like disciple material. That's what Jesus did. He looked at me and He said, I think Roger could be disciple material. I don't think I would have believed him. He said, you can be disciple material and He'll send you out to accomplish His purposes. What a joy God gives us in just coming here to be in these places. I'm thankful to be here and I'm thankful to see some of these places. Thankful to be able to relate to Jesus Christ walked here. You know what? We got dirt in Curlew. We got rocks like this in Curlew. But God chose these places to present His grace to this earth in the person of Jesus Christ. And that's what makes these places special to me. And understanding God was here and He has a purpose in that, even if I don't understand what all those purposes are. So thank you for coming here because you're a big part of it in my life. And I really do appreciate that. Let's say a short prayer and then we'll be dismissed and see some more of this place. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for this very spot that we've come to today, that we might be able to relate to the reality of understanding that You bring through the story You've given us about Your great love shown to someone who did not deserve it here in this place. Lord, the way that You showed people's hearts to themselves as they were faced with the love and mercy of God and they chose mammon. They preferred pigs over Jesus Christ. They preferred what this world had to offer over You. And yet You loved them anyway. Lord, we praise You for loving us and continuing to work in our lives. Until truly You have shown the victory to us at the cross of Calvary because of who You are. We thank You for our time together. Lord, we thank You for the tour. Lord, we thank You for the guides. We thank You for the people. We thank You for the hearts that You draw to You for an eternity in the time we have together. We praise You. May Your name be blessed in all that we do and say and think together. Guide our conversations and our activities. In Jesus we pray. Amen.